The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie with more puppies than you can shake a stick at. And then use said stick to bash them over the heads and murder them in cold blood and then skin them and wear their skins as a coat.
The movie where Disney was like, we gotta take all the cartoon stuff out of the original. No more talking animals. Some relatable human characters. And Glenn Close, how would you be the most ridiculous fucking living human being that was ever to appear in a film and, you know, be as cartoony as possible?
The 90s movie that reinvigorated Disney, laying out groundwork for billion-dollar successes, taking one of their animated films, casting an all-star cast, a big-name director, making a very serious new film that everybody rushes to the theater and then leaves going, meh, you want to go watch that original movie? That was pretty good, huh? The original one that we liked?
Yeah, fuck this live-action one.
This is 101 Dalmatians on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, Blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Today, we are talking about, it's not our first remake, but it's our first live-action remake of an animated film.
Right, and at the very least of the Disney ones, because this is the second live-action remake of the Disney movies.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they had already done the
Jungle Book, right?
Which
was it? Robert Kipling's The Jungle Book or something
Roger
like that?
Kipling's Jungle Book. Yes. Yeah. Which it's not great. Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's all right.
It's all right.
And then they made this one, and then everybody was like, "It's not great. I remember seeing it.
Yeah,
it's and all right."
They continue to do that same yeah. thing for about 15 years, where every few years they'd make one, and you go like, "Ah, oh, it's all right." And then everybody in the world started going to the theater to see them.
Right.
And now that's all they do.
Yes. So they made this movie. They made The Jungle Book. And then there was something after that, right?
I'm sure there was.
I feel like we should have had this.
We should have planned
ahead. If I would have taken...
podcast would.
If I would have taken the notes when we were watching it. So they made this one. They made a sequel to this one.
Oh, that's right.
So they made this one. Dalmatians. They made 102 Dalmatians.
Got Glenn Close back.
Like 4 years later. And then... it wasn't until 10 years after that they did Alice in Wonderland.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, did they do that before Maleficent?
Yes. Alice in Wonderland, and then 4 years after that, Maleficent.
Wow.
Because I think Alice in Wonderland, they were like, I don't know if it's going to hit. And then it hit really big.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we got to fucking start producing. No, it's terrible. So then they did like five in a row. It was like Maleficent, Cinderella, Jungle Book, the second Alice, Beauty and the Beast. And ever since then, it's been like a year, every year, pretty much. Yeah, no, also with Alice in Wonderland, they also blew it because it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, they all suck. Let's be real.
Yes. None of them. I mean, I like the newer Jungle Book. I thought that was pretty fun.
Nah, son.
But garbage. That's kind of it. Everything else is just not as good. And this sets the bar for that. Like, it's all right.
Yeah. Again, it just reminds you, hey, there's an animated movie you could boot up Disney Plus right now and watch. As good, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
the original.
It turns out also the talking animals were a big fun part of the original.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Turns out having 30 minutes, and now this is coming from someone that has been watching the shit out of Primal, a show that has nothing but animal grunts and human grunts because it's a caveman. But watching.
Well, also, Primal doesn't set up with human characters that talk and set up a story. Then, like, we're going to run out. We're going to fuck off for half an hour and just have animals looking at each other.
That's true. And also, I mean, Genndy Kartakovsky is one of the great visual storytellers in the last, time, like, 40 years. But, and, you know, not to take offense against the guy that also directed, what, Dumb and Dumber? And this is the director, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, of 100, it's...
101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, it's Stephen Herrick. And I think we've talked to him about him already, right? No, he did Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted, excuse me, not Dumb and Dumber. The other one about two stupid idiots.
Wayne's World. No. Yeah. Not that one either. Yeah, Bill and Ted. So he did Bill and Ted. He actually, his first movie was Critters, which is fucking great.
Critters is good.
Anytime that a genre.
And Bill and Ted is good. I like
Bill and Ted is awesome.
You know, come on.
anytime that a genre horror director gets to make a big fucking blockbuster movie, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's a James Gunn thing.
It usually works out.
Yeah, yeah. It works out pretty well. I was like, oh, yeah. He made Slither, and then he makes fucking Guardians, and it's fucking great. That's he also true. Did Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He did The Mighty Ducks.
Good. Also good.
I think when he did The Mighty Ducks, he became a Disney guy.
A Disney guy,
because then he does Three Musketeers.
Disney is known for doing this. Once they get a guy.
Yeah, you're their guy.
Yeah.
Then he did Mr. Holland's Opus.
That's fine.
And then he did 101 Dalmatians, and then after that he did that Eddie Murphy movie, Holy Man.
Oh, of course.
The movie you know that
kind of killed Eddie Murphy's career for a little while.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that is Eddie Murphy and how much of that is him, but you know.
Yeah.
But then he did like Rockstar, and then he did a bunch of like Life or something like it, and Man of the House. He's been consistently working, but not all of them are bangers.
Yeah.
He's been pretty middle ground.
Yeah. And this movie is pretty middle ground. Yeah.
But it did, back in 1996, rake in $136,189,000.
Domestically, yeah.
It was a huge fucking movie. Hit. I mean, Disney was already a big giant muscle to be reckoned with. So
this is post-Disney Renaissance, so they have reaffirmed themselves as the fucking family entertainment
company. They are the company to sell to kids.
Yep.
And that's what they did. And when this movie was going to come out, they put a shit ton of stuff out. I mean, McDonald's had 101 actual dogs that you could collect. That's
insane.
So if you were one of these fucking weirdo collectors, you would have to go get 200 Happy Meals to try to get all 101.
At least. Or you're probably getting like 1,000.
Yeah. To try to get them all. Because there's a handful of them that are very rare.
Honestly. Yeah. Well, right. And your McDonald's, whatever the McDonald's you went to, probably only got like 4 of them
toys. Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a brilliant marketing strategy.
Brilliant, yeah. Did you see this movie in theaters?
No, I never did.
Me either.
I actually didn't see it until I was an adult.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and watching it again now, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, this was also written by John Hughes.
Crazy.
Which is insane.
Give the fact, the John Hughes fact, that blew our fucking mind when we were watching the movie.
Yes. And it feels like maybe not John Hughes wrote it, but somebody ripped off John Hughes so hardcore that he sued them, and then they had to put his fucking name on it, because it's clearly the Wet Bandits, right? Yeah. Like, it's clearly.
But it's also, I mean, they're in the original too, so I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. No, but it's weird. It's a weird movie to be a John Hughes movie.
It's a weird movie to be a John Hughes movie because, one, you know, say what you like about John Hughes, but. Guy made some you know, unique.
He knew how to tug at the heartstrings.
He knew how
to
tug at the heartstrings. He knew how to get some jokes.
He was also like a product of his time.
He made movies that spoke to a generation.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is an animated movie from the 70s.
Right.
With very little changes, except for they just took out all the dog dialogue.
Yeah, all the dog talking. No music stuff. Now it's a video game.
Right.
All right. So let's start talking about it. It's
look. It's 1996. Music, get out of here.
Yeah.
Music. That's for lamos and old people.
Songwriting. That's not a normal thing anymore.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now,
no.
Video What's game big? Designer. That's a game the kids can get behind.
Yes. And it creates this character that the idea is that clearly a video game designer in 1996. It's just a businessman from 1989.
Right.
Like, it's just a guy that goes to an office.
Sure.
Like, it's just a guy that goes to that big meeting, meeting in big where they're just going over toys.
That's right.
That's all it is.
That's true.
It's just a bunch of old guys being like, I don't understand this little video game, but, you know, let's see what this kid thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, developing this video game. They don't show how he's developing it, how he's working on it.
And also, this kid, we mean 45-year-old Jeff Daniels.
Yeah. No, there's a little kid that tests the game.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it's Jeff Daniels.
Even the idea that Jeff Daniels is a cutting-edge video game designer trying to break in to the business at, like, 43.
Exactly. Yeah. He's playing just like an accountant.
Right.
If you see any documentaries about back then, those guys were fucking weird.
Yeah,
and they were sitting in a fucking little tiny room and with no money and just making the best video games that ever happened.
Right.
Or they were Japanese guys.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Who were also weird nerds sitting in a fucking tiny room by themselves.
Making the best video games that ever happened. Exactly. Yes. So this is
like, I have this idea. It's about a plumber from Italy in America. I know nothing about Italy, nothing about America, nothing about plumbing.
Yeah,
I have made the greatest video game of all time.
From they're going to make amusement parks about this one fucking plumber game. Yeah, no, it just no idea what video game developing is like. But
although I will say, and I know they made 101 Dalmatians video game after this movie came out. I do not know if it looked anything like this game that we see in the movie.
Right.
But the game that we see in this movie kind of rules.
Phenomenal.
It looks like fucking rules.
What's the game that they play in Stranger Things? It's like the Black Cauldron game. Yes. Or whatever. It's like actual animation.
Not Black Cauldron. It's that Don Bluth one.
Yeah. It's a Don Bluth game.
Fuck. What Dungeon, is it called?
Yes. It's not Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Quest.
Yeah, something like that. Something like Dungeon Quest. Yeah.
Yeah. But classic 80s arcade game that had actual full on animated cutscenes, which was like groundbreaking at the time.
Right.
Because Don Bluth
And it's not the actual gameplay. It's Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair. That's what it is. Yeah.
Dragon's Lair. So yeah, it's a lot of cool animated stuff.
It looks kind of like if you took Dragon's Lair and Donkey Kong Country, because there's a bunch of scenes where the dogs are in like mine carts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in Donkey Kong Country.
So somehow.
Looks pretty rad.
It looks pretty fucking rad. Because it's animated. So.
Yeah.
Somehow Jeff Daniels' character was like, I have a dog that's a Dalmatian.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make a video game about said Dalmatian.
Sure, and then, right, what you know.
Yeah, they were like, yes, we love it. Like, let's do this. And then the kid plays it, and it's the best video game I've ever seen for now.
Yep.
Back in 1996. Like, and the kid is like, well, the bad guy is just like a miner with TNT.
He's not.
What
he's
is
not
so
a,
threatening
he's
not about
a,
that?
A turtle that walks slowly towards you?
Yeah, there's nothing threatening about that. I don't like it. And then he like gets up and he's like, I'm out of here. And he leaves.
Yeah.
So then they're like, oh, you got to come up with something better. And Jeff Daniels is like, well, what's possible?
I mean, 96, this is evil pre-PlayStation 1.
Yes. This was still like Sega Genesis.
This is Genesis and Super Nintendo, because I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe
64.
64 launched either 96 or 97.
Mm-hmm. Either way, they would have shot this movie before
and
that
PlayStation,
existed.
If I'm not mistaken, launched 97.
So this is still before.
This is all off the top of the dome. I don't know this. If I'm
even
wrong
if
about
it was
any
96,
of this, send us an
this
email.
Got released
blockbustersoldier@gmail.com. And I'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Then Jeff Daniels, they're like, well, you got to come up with a better villain. And he's like, well, I'm stuck. Whatever. But what could be a worse villain?
What could
villain?
Be a worse villain than a random dude? I don't know. A monster? Fucking the Joker? I don't know.
And then cut to his dog is watching TV and they're talking about skinning a lion, like like a lion that gets killed in
That's
the
right.
zoo.
Yeah.
And the dog barks at the TV. It's cute.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, oh man, well, this is crazy. And then he picks up the newspaper and it's like a pun on the newspaper. It's
right,
a tiger.
They're taking it very lightly.
It's a tiger. It's like, local zoo tiger loses stripes.
Yeah.
And then it's
hilarious.
Like he got skinned alive is what happened.
They like to keep it light.
Yeah, they like to keep it light. They don't like to, you know.
They don't want to weigh you down on your fucking morning. You're sitting there drinking your coffee. You're getting ready for work. You're probably tired. They don't want to weigh you down with tiger skinned alive.
In zoo. Yeah. Zoo. Also, it's not just like tiger skinned alive in zoo. It's like, the rash of skinning alive of animals continues with this rare tiger.
Killer, yeah. There's a fucking, get Morgan Freeman and fucking Brad Pitt on the case. We got a seven.
Yeah. I would argue that all you need is Morgan Freeman because he made like
He made eight of those movies.
But,
that's true.
But yeah, no, get him on the case. We got somebody skinning animals alive.
Get a fucking Jodie Foster.
Yes.
The lambs are no longer silent. This shit is insane.
Yeah. Anyway, they're like, anyway, that's happening. Yeah, then we cut to Anita. She's a fashion designer. That's the same.
Yes.
She's a fashion designer.
She always worked for Cruella. Oh, no, she was friends with Cruella.
She had gone to school with Cruella in the original. She had gone to a college.
Even though Cruella is clearly 30 years older than her.
Yes. Oh, well, she might be like a doc from Back to the Future situation where, like, I don't know, he's maybe 45, he's maybe 85. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. We have no idea how old he is.
Yeah.
They did that shit on purpose. But yeah, no, like, she's clearly way older. At least in the cartoon.
In the cartoon.
She's been dead
one.
For 40 years in the cartoon. And this one, she's her boss.
Yes.
They didn't go to school
together. That's true. Right, right. But also, clearly, like, she is much older than her.
Right.
Actually, I would argue Glenn Close and the actress that plays Anita, Jolie Richardson, are probably, and I
like
haven't looked this
six
up,
years
they're
apart?
Probably much closer in age than the animated version, in which, again, they look probably 40 years different.
That's true. Although, Cruella might have gone to school later. She might have been like one back. 45-year-old that went to school when she was 25.
You know what? I had my kids. I had my family. I want to go back to school and learn some shit.
I'm independently wealthy now. Yeah. Like, I'm rich. I'd just go back to school.
I married a rich guy that died. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I black widowed him a little bit. Maybe poisoned him, stabbed him a little bit.
Back then it was easier to just poison somebody.
Yeah. No one asked any questions.
Nah. You would just put Ajax in their food for 2 months and then they would just die. And the doctor would be like, well, I'm a consumption, I guess.
Yep. Like, I don't know. He's an old man, I guess. Yeah,
he's got the yellow fever.
Yeah.
So all the symptoms are there. I don't have to test him for anything. I'm not going to do that. I saw he had a fever and he died.
That's right.
But so she's a fashion designer. And right off the bat, the best character in this fucking movie. Mm. It makes sense. So I had a thing.
I mean, you might be forgetting about the hero dog, but yes.
Yeah, the hero dog is the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
But when they were talking about making the Cruella movie.
I remember this, and we all had this conversation, both you, me, the audience, everyone on the internet.
Yeah, we were like, maybe not make a movie.
About
with
a person,
the hero.
The hero being a person who loves to murder and skin animals.
And wear them. Yeah. Like, I feel like we've all...
And not just like... Oh, when they kill a cow for their delicious meat, I will take the leather
and
wear a jacket of it.
Right.
Like, no, I will take not just dogs.
No, not dogs.
Not old dogs full that grown. Are like, you know, about ready to die, fucking old Yeller style.
Yeah.
I'm talking about prime of their lives puppies.
Puppies. And not like stray mutt dogs. These are like purebred.
Purebred.
Yeah. Their life is going to be better than our life.
Yeah.
Puppies. Like, she's ready at the day after they're born.
Yep.
She's like.
The day that they are born.
Yeah, the day they're born.
She's there like 10 minutes.
Which also, I feel like she didn't think that through. They're going to grow three times the size and still be puppies. And you get three times the fur.
Exactly. You've got to wait.
No, yeah. I know you're going for the softest, but, at 6 weeks, they're still pretty soft.
Even with veal, you got to wait till there's at least some meat there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can't just take them straight out of the cow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Baby seals, maybe not. But, you know, like all the other ones.
Yeah. We do a lot of fucked up things as humans, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Anyway, none of them should be heroes. That was what my original thought.
Yes.
When they were like, we're going to make a movie with Cruella, I was like, maybe not make the movie about...
I thought too.
Yeah, because some of the bad guys in Disney movies make sense. Cruella was the most vicious and evil one.
Oh, let's circle to that around then. If you're making a movie about a Disney villain and making them the hero, what Disney villain makes the most sense?
I mean, Maleficent was already a movie, right?
I mean, was a movie, but that didn't make any sense.
No, but I guess it depends on what you talk. Shere Khan, I thought, was a...
That guy just wanted to eat humans.
No, he wanted to kill the human because of the fire, right?
Nah, he just hated humans.
Because they have fire. Sure, he's afraid of fire.
That's true. He was afraid of fire. He was just afraid of anything more powerful than him.
You can make the argument that he's seen atrocities from humans.
Perhaps.
And then that's why he hates humans.
So we reinvent a Shere Khan movie.
Are we just going to movies? Because that possibly homosexual, I don't know, but wolf pirate in Tailspin, pretty rad.
Well, I mean, yes, obviously. I'm using the Tailspin version of Shere Khan.
All right, cool.
Obviously.
Because he's just a businessman.
He's a businessman. He has the most amazing voice of all time.
Yes.
It's not Tony Hale. What the fuck? I'll look that guy's name up.
Yeah.
But that dude.
Yeah, the voice is fucking great.
It changes
Megabytes. My heartbeat. Oh, my heartbeat Jesus. Just like goes along to it.
So you take businessman Shere Khan and you put him in like 1947. He was there during Hiroshima. He has seen the horror of the man gone astray.
It's like the worst shit.
Yeah. And now he's like full on trying to destroy humanity, and now it's like an Alan Moore comic.
So now the Jungle Book happens after World War II.
Yes, exactly. Now it's just some fucking
maybe Vietnam. There's tigers in those jungles. Maybe we go Vietnam.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, maybe he was there during the Vietnam War.
He saw little fucking 5-year-old kids with IAD or IEDs running up on troops.
Or like the napalm, because I don't know if you know this, which is fucked up, but Vietnam doesn't have wildlife because we napalmed it out.
Yeah.
So he saw that shit.
Yeah.
So then he's like, he hates humans because of that.
Now
you know you're Khan. All right. What other Disney villain would you say?
I mean, obviously Gaston.
Oh, yeah. That's
Belle was kidnapped by a giant monster and he went to rescue her. He is the hero.
Yeah. Obviously. There's a whole song about how nobody's as good as Gaston.
And nobody is.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Gaston is a pretty good one.
Yeah. There's Pocahontas, where the villain is the guy that married Pocahontas. You know, that's a whole...
It's a whole can of worms.
It's a whole thing.
There's problematic stuff in that one. Yeah, maybe not the best. Other than that, though, Cruella seems like the cruelest.
But she's the worst.
She's the cruelest one of them. She's
definitely the worst. Yeah. Everyone else you can kind of see.
Right.
And I guess the Evil Queen in Snow White is just like a jealous old lady.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. She's just like too beautiful. I got to destroy beauty.
Yeah.
But even there's something to be said about somebody who has been, brought down by humanity so much that they hate beauty and have to destroy it.
And now all those people just get plastic surgery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Watching this movie, I was like, all right, it makes sense. Glenn Close, the best fucking character in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Like...
she's great.
You can get around.
She's amazing.
I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. She's trying to kill puppies, but damn, does she look fucking great?
Her style.
And she's hamming it up.
Fucking on point.
Every outfit she wears in this.
We watched it with some folks.
Yeah,
it was a group.
Are the ladies?
We watched with some ladies. And every time she stepped on the screen, everyone was just like, that fucking outfit, hair, those nails. Like,
oh, yeah.
The ladies were loving it. And rightfully so, because she looked incredible.
Oh, yes. Yes. Everything. They were like, oh, my God, look at that. Like, I think Angel pointed out that her gloves have nails.
Yeah.
They have nails built into the gloves. And then Stephanie was like, she had like the weird cobra, like the snake thing that went around her and stuff like that. Like, The outfits are amazing in this.
Yeah, no, the set design. And they won an Oscar, right? For like,
no,
costume design?
Not an Oscar. They won a couple of awards, but it wasn't an Oscar.
Oh, okay. Unfortunate.
But her
whole thing, it's pretty incredible.
Yes. And so you're like, oh, yeah, she's the best character out of this whole thing. And also she hams it up pretty hardcore.
Hard.
It's like when we talked about fucking
she goes Peter,
it's like Mr.
North,
Freeze,
all right, like
yeah it's like Mr. Freeze and fucking Batman, like Schwarzenegger, when we're like, yeah, he fucking brought it, like he hammed it up.
Yeah, no, there is bringing it, and there is like that Nick Cage fucking level of like, we are going beyond, we are you think this is the level? No.
Yeah.
This 300,000 feet above that.
Yeah.
That's the fucking level.
And then it's when I hadn't seen it again until I was an adult, but I do remember the talk about Glenn Close and what a big deal it was. And it was kind of like when Dustin Hoffman hit Hook.
Yeah.
And it was like the talk was that. And people gave him shit for it and people gave her shit for it. But. Damn,
I didn't feel like people gave her that much shit.
Maybe not that much shit, but the movie got shit.
The movie got kind of shit because it's not a good movie. But
damn,
she's incredible.
She brings it. Yeah. So then, maybe we make a movie about just her.
I do think this is a thing that happens with movies all the time, is that when you have a performance like this, which is clearly insane.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Make no mistake, this is a fucking maniac performance.
Yeah, it is.
When you watch it for the first time, especially if you're just sitting down being like, I'm going to watch, you know, a normal movie with normal people doing normal things.
Hey, kids, come along and we're going to sit down and watch this normal people movie.
Right.
About people doing normal things with dogs.
Yeah. And then someone comes on and is doing a fucking science fiction theater.
She's like a Power Rangers villain.
Yes.
Then you're like, what is that?
Right.
Like, so let's do more of that.
Especially if you're a serious critic, right? Because that's who we're really talking about.
Right.
If you're a fucking serious critic and you're like, oh, I know Glenn Close. She does, you know,
real movies.
For real people.
She's an amazing actress. Yeah. She's always been really good and she has all these accolades.
Yeah. You know, she's been nominated for awards, all this stuff, right? You know, we talked about her in Fatal Attraction.
Right.
And then you sit down and you're like, all right, let me see her be a villain. And you're expecting, I don't know, fucking Al Pacino in Godfather 2.
Yeah.
And you're getting Al Pacino in the Heat.
Yeah. He's got a great ass.
And it's all the way up. You know, which we love.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah,
that's another performance that I feel like, you know, when the Heat first came out, people were like, Jesus Christ, Al Pacino, dial it back. And now you watch and you're like, more.
Like, I want more of that Al Pacino shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So what it does is it also makes all the dog shit, and that sounds funny, but all the dog stuff be like, yeah, it's all right.
Right.
But like,
but you could go hard.
These dogs aren't bringing it the way Cruella de Vil's bringing it.
Cruella's bringing yeah. it. Cruella's bringing it. The fucking, the henchmen are bringing it. Yeah. Like, they're full on cartoons.
Right.
And then the dogs are just like, I don't know, puppies running around.
So that's the problem in this movie. And then, all right, let's get back into the plot. But the problem in this movie, I think, is that they're more cartoons than the dogs.
Right.
And the dogs are like real. So it's weird to have the dogs exist in the real world. Yeah, the dogs exist in the real world, and Cruella and her henchmen exist in the cartoon world.
Exactly.
And it should be the other way around.
Right. Or they should all exist in an exaggerated world.
Right, right.
Right.
And not try to make it realistic in any way.
Right. Especially this movie. I mean, I get it. I get when you're sitting down and you're like, all right, we want to do a live action Disney movie. Which movie do we take? Well, everyone loves adorable puppies. We'll throw a bunch of puppies on the screen. Like, I kind of get that.
Yeah. It was at a time where, like, Babe had come out. Babe,
sure.
And it was at a time where dogs were kind of a big, like, yeah. animals. Animal movies were kind animal of Air Bud.
Air Bud. It's like a year all before dogs Air go Bud. To heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Look, you can't go wrong. And it actually surprises me that they haven't done it in quite some time, I feel like. But you can't go wrong if you're making a family film or a kid's movie where you're just like, here's a bunch of like fucking awesome dogs.
Right, right.
You know, our cats or, I don't know, wolves or whatever the fuck, right?
Right.
Like, kids love that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all about it.
Yeah. Like, I used to watch fucking National Geographic. I would go to the rental place specifically to be like, what's that one about?
I fucking want that
gazelles?
One about bears.
Yeah, I'll get that shit. I don't know. Bears? Fuck yeah. I'm going to get some bears. What is that? Penguins? Fuck yeah. Penguins. Let's
I'm
do
all about
it.
These penguins.
Yeah.
So then Jeff Daniels, well, Anita, she's having trouble working for Glenn Close, but Glenn Close is super into her dog, who's a
well, she's super into her design, which is based on
based
on
the dog. Right. And she's like, what is that?
And she's like, oh, that's a great design. I love the color. I love the spots. What? And then she's like, oh yeah, I
my
was
Dalmatian.
Thinking about Dalmatian. Oh, you're Dalmatian.
And then
oh,
she's like
that?
How soft
is
their
soft
fur?
Is that fur?
And then Nita's like, well, it's pretty soft, but not as soft as when there's 100 puppies of it. And she's like, really? The hell you say? So then Anita's kind of down herself. She goes to the park where
also,
Roger is at the park.
You're right. But we'll circle back around to Roger at the park in his bike. Cruella de Vil, extremely wealthy.
Yes.
Very famous fashion designer.
Right.
Makes fashion that other people buy, presumably.
Correct.
Kills exactly as many animals as will take to make her dress.
Yes.
What is she selling to other people?
It doesn't matter because she has to look better than everybody. That's how fashion designing works.
I
you have to
so.
Look better
I
than everybody.
I guess
else.
I don't really understand yeah. the high-paced world of fashion design. You're right.
It's all about who looks best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has to look the best. She has to feel the best. That's how it works. So she'll never best produce the dress that she loves because she has to be the only one wearing it. That's how fashion designing works.
Okay. So then what is she selling to people?
I don't know, garbage, because they're garbage people, and they don't
okay,
care.
Okay, fair.
It's 96. There were still some big shoulder pads, I think, right?
Probably.
Jeff Daniels wore like a loose suit, like a not
he
very fitting
wore a
suit.
Loose suit, yeah.
So that was still the style at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, and it was still like those, like a, maybe like a, it was like a skirt and top, but the top
I mean,
was still kind of bulky.
If I remember
for
anything
women.
From my fashion in 1996, it Ninja was Turtle a lot shirts. Of, yeah, it was a lot of big t-shirts with cartoon characters
yeah,
on it.
Exactly.
And, I don't know, sweatpants, jeans, whatever.
Yeah, maybe cartoon characters doing stuff that they wouldn't normally do in cartoons, like the Looney Tunes soccer.
But it's playing soccer, yeah. And right. then obviously I was wearing the freshest of kicks, by which I mean whatever like Walmart fucking
Payless.
Basketball shoes that were not Air Jordans.
Yeah,
because
the Payless
we
shoes
could
versions?
Definitely not afford that shit.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then also or a T-shirt with a T-Rex skateboarding.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
Anything that goes on a Trapper Keeper goes on a T-shirt.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And that was the shit.
It was very busy.
Maybe like floating spheres and pyramids.
I had a lot of apparel for sports teams. But rather than just saying like, oh, Phoenix Suns on the front, it would be an entire shirt of purple and swirls
yeah, yep.
of orange and basketballs
yep.
and yeah.
Just the Chicago Bulls. And like,
but everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
100 Bulls.
Yep. Maybe a gecko like on a fucking motorbike.
Yeah.
Like just with a gnarly gecko with his tongue out. And like
yeah, but the tongue would wrap all the way around into your ass because your shirt would be hanging beyond it.
Damn
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, that's
height
the
of fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. All the girls were like, that's the guy I want to give a handy to.
Which which, I mean, look, I've seen how the kids dress now.
We didn't do that bad. I'm saying
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's all,
we didn't do that bad. Yeah.
We didn't get perms is all I'm saying.
Yeah. We didn't get bowl cuts. Yeah. That wasn't a big part of it.
We didn't get bowl cuts or perms. Yeah. Our hair was just there.
Yeah.
Very easy.
So anyway, Jeff Daniels goes to the park, and then his dog sees, Pongo sees Anita's dog, whose name escapes me. No, and then they kind of like fall in love, right?
Yeah.
At first sight, like they see each other, and like dogs would, they're just like, we gotta like meet.
We gotta either fight or fuck immediately.
Yeah, right away. That's how dogs work.
Yeah, that's how I work.
Yeah. Perdita. Perdita.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Perdita and Pongo see each other, and then Pongo loses his mind. He runs. Jeff Daniels on his bicycle. He ends up going into the
pond. Very dirty.
Yeah, into the pond.
Disgusting.
And then Anita runs up and she's like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, fuck you, bitch.
Yep.
unless, you know, you want to hang out or something.
Unless, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Question mark?
He's like a hard dick to her first.
He's bad.
He's like, oh, you know what was awesome? When your fucking bitch dog pulled my dog and pulled me into the goddamn pond.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, you really want to make it up to me? You know, let's hang out or something.
Yeah. I don't know what is she, because she's immediately like, hey.
Who's this guy with the Dalmatian also?
Well, I'm not saying Jeff Daniels is unattractive, but, you know, he's Jeff Daniels.
I mean, mid-90s like, Jeff Daniels.
He's all right, yeah. But
he's rocking that Seinfeld look.
The fact that he's, like, being a fucking ass to you, I mean, I guess, you know, the game says Nagum.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah. Maybe, again, rocking that Seinfeld style.
Rocking that Seinfeld
he's
style.
He's just a dick. And then she gets pulled into the pond, too.
That's true.
Like at first, yeah, they mess around, and then she falls into the pond, and
then they have to go do the classic: put your clothes by the fireplace, get naked.
Also, yeah, I was like, good job, Hardcore. I didn't think you had it in you. Movie. It's like, well, why don't you come over to my place, and we'll put them by the fireplace, and then they have to kiss.
Yeah.
And then,
which means babies.
Which means, well, we go from kissing immediately to marriage.
Right. I mean, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
If you kiss, you're married.
You're getting married.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're getting married, and
actually, that's a good question. Has any Disney movie ever had two characters kiss and not get married?
Like before this, I feel like now they do.
They may have Frozen.
Yeah,
they make out in Frozen.
Well, the prince is like the bad guy.
Yeah.
So
but like he has that whole song with the fucking Christian Bell.
Yeah. I think now it's not that uncommon.
Yeah, you might be right.
But at the time, you're probably right. Yeah. You kiss, you end up together. You end up either married or he saves you or whatever.
Right. Or presumably married. Like,
right.
I don't think they get married in Beauty and the Beast, but, you know, they're going to get married.
Yeah, exactly. Also, who's going to marry them? They already destroyed half the town. Like, all the people came and, you know, like, they already tried to kill him.
True.
Now
he's royalty. He can hire a fucking bishop. Just give him, like, a gold chain. He'll come.
I don't know if he's just a human being and they're like, we got to kill him. And they're like, he's a guy. Like, we can't kill the guy. Isn't he the guy that kidnapped her? Yeah, but he's a guy now. He's like a person.
We should probably kill her.
Yeah. Yeah. Weren't we fighting these when they were like lamps and shit? Weren't we fighting these same people? Yeah, but now they're people. Like, yeah. We hated them when they were weird anthropomorphic things.
Understandable.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. So they kiss, so they have to get married. So we go immediately from the kiss to the wedding, where there are 400 dogs sitting quietly outside.
400 dogs.
Yeah. Very funny and also impossible.
Impossible.
You put 400 dogs outside sitting in the in the yard while all the owners are inside. Not happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, they get married. Pongo and Perdita are just hanging out right there, watching. And they kiss each other stuff. Yeah. And now they're married. So then obviously they're going to bang.
And obviously, yeah, well, yes.
The dogs have been banging the whole time.
The dogs are, I mean, I thought you were talking about the dogs because they're going to have puppies.
Yeah. Because they're going to at some point have puppies.
Right.
So then they do have puppies.
Yeah.
And they have
a lot of them.
A shit ton of puppies.
But not 101.
No. Because
that would be insane.
That'd be ridiculous. They have 15 puppies.
Yes.
And then they have 14 puppies because Lucky died until Jeff Daniels uses his magic powers.
Of putting two fingers and petting him three times.
Yes. Make it a wish, I assume.
I assume he looks over at the blue fairy and Geppetto and is hey, buddy.
He just, in the original one, he blows in his hands and he warms up his hands.
He does the Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, he does.
He does the Mr.
Miyagi. We talked about this.
He 100% does the Mr. Miyagi where you warm up your hands and then that heals all injuries. Yeah.
He's like, all right.
Or if you're...
Yeah. Everybody get out. I'm going to warm up my hands and heal this 12-year-old boy.
I mean, the only... Yes,
well, exactly. he was like 16, right?
He was 16, but still very inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only way it makes any sense at all is if we're supposed to believe that Jeff Daniels was, in fact, a D&D paladin come to life and could lay on hands and use his god's divine energy
and that's
to
exactly
heal
what he does.
To heal
that's
fucking
exactly what he does.
Heal hit points.
So he brings Lucky back to life with his superpowers.
Mm-hmm. His divine energy is given to him by Pelor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The sun god.
The sun god Pelor is like, I will give this to you once.
Once. And only once.
Yeah, and only once. Use it wisely. So then they're like, oh, great. We have 15 puppies. Everything is great. And then Cruella shows up.
And it's like, and I'll take them.
Here's, here's $7,000 for these brand new puppies.
$500.
Yeah, it's $500 a puppy.
Ka-ching.
Which, adjusted for inflation, $42 million today.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's good money.
And also, so he's unemployed. Money.
Yeah, yeah, because he can't make a fucking video game.
I don't know.
Actually, because
I don't know what his job is, really.
He can design.
Is he working for a company? Is he self-employed? Who knows?
Is he a contractor? I don't know. But he can design the best video game up to that day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But can't get the bad guy right. So they're like, get the fuck out of here,
get
dude.
The fuck out.
No, get out of here with your amazing animated
and
video
also,
game.
Clearly, this video game only has one person making it.
Yeah, it's
not
just
like
him.
We have, it's not like we have a studio of fucking 30 people, 40, 100 people making it. No, it's just you.
And as a testament to what they thought video game making was like, he's making it just like he would a song.
Yep.
It's just like him in a room with a piano making a video game.
Dalmatian in a car.
This is how the video game works.
Yep.
So she shows up, offers $7,500, and they're like, no, they're not. He's like, they're not for sale. Anita's like, well, maybe.
Because Anita's paying the fucking bills.
Yeah, with her.
That's Anita's house.
Yeah. Also, she's 100%. Her job. He's her boss, I mean.
Yeah.
So she's worried about getting fired.
Yes. Although, I feel like she shouldn't be that worried because she clearly comes from money. That is an amazing fucking house for her to be an assistant fashion designer to be a fucking unemployed video game designer.
The first sign that it's a John Hughes movie.
Yes, exactly.
Is it is a person that's slumming it and barely making it and blue collar and lives in a mansion of a house.
With a live-in nanny.
Yep. For what?
A live-in nanny.
A live-in nanny for the baby that
they
don't
have. Not had yet. Yeah.
For the two dogs that are just dogs.
Yep.
They're not like bulldogs granted, with cancer where this, you're like somebody's got to take care of them 24/7.
I mean, they had an Annie in the animated movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just assumed, I guess, that
then you would just have nannies.
I guess 1700s Paris, I just assumed like...
I assumed that she raised him.
1900s Paris?
Yeah. She just raised him and then he just kept her.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's how it would work.
These people got cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, they're not for sale. So then Cruella hires her Horace and Jasper.
Yes.
To go steal these puppies because that's who she hires to illegally steal all the stuff for
them. So obviously she gets Dr. House and Ron Weasley, right?
It's Roger Weasley?
Roger Weasley.
Yeah.
Ron's the kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Roger Weasley and Dr. House.
Go back and listen to our fucking Harry Potter episode that doesn't exist because the recording fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Do that, audience. To steal the puppies. They really go on a date or some shit? I don't even remember what they do that the puppies get stolen.
They just go out.
Yeah. All right. We can jump ahead. They are just the wet bandits.
Yes.
But they're British, so it's funny.
There's some shenanigans.
Yeah, there's shenanigans. They go in to steal the puppies when the nanny's there.
If you recast this as Joe Pesci and... not Harold Ramis. What the fuck?
Stern.
Daniel Stern. Mm-hmm. If you recast this as Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, is it better?
And
do you
have them
do the accent? I mean, yes, it is, obviously.
Clearly, it's better.
And do you have them do the accent?
Yes.
And also, how funny is it to think of
Joe Pesci doing an accent? Doing a Cockney accent?
Yes, that'd be pretty great, right?
That'd be fucking great.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would 100% do that.
Yes.
Also, I'm surprised that they didn't technically make this movie based in Christmas. And I feel like the second one was.
You might be right.
But they should have done this as a Christmas movie.
I feel like just make all the Disney movies Christmas movies. Lion King, Christmas.
The money.
I don't know. Aladdin, Christmas. Who gives a shit?
Because who doesn't want a fucking license to print money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then they are going to go.
Now you're legally contracted if you're TNT, TBS, WB, any of those stations. You are legally contracted, USA. You have to play this movie 15 times every Christmas.
Yes, because you can't play the original one. The royalties are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So then they go in to steal the puppies. They get into some shenanigans.
They do get into just some slight shenanigans. They get in more later.
Yeah, they get into some shenanigans and they take the puppies. And then this is when the original movie kicks in.
Well, I mean, it's always kind of been going on.
It's kind of, but it's different.
But yeah, for sure, the next, like everything with them is basically the original.
Right, right.
And then everything with Cruella, pretty much the original, right?
Like, yeah, all but Glenn lines, Close just brings it. Yeah.
Well, because Glenn Close is doing the fucking cartoon. Yeah, like, she is bending her back fucking in half.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she can do the Cruella de Vil, like, maniacal laugh.
Right. But everything does look like Tim Burton. Yes. Everything that she has looks like Tim Burton. And then yes, we were talking about this. This is a movie that style doesn't exist without Tim Burton.
And then Tim Burton obviously becomes the guy for Disney remakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they did the second one after this, and then they did Alice in Wonderland, yeah, which Tim Burton did 10 years later.
Right. And yeah, then he does the second Alice in Wonderland, and he does Willy just Wonka, garbage, which is, yeah, basically the same bullshit.
When they told Tim Burton that you could CGI everything.
Yeah. He was like, okay, I'll do that.
He's like, oh, I don't have to show up to work. Yep. I can just write send you text messages and you'll do it. Yeah. And they're like, I guess. He's like, all right, cool. I'll do that. Cool, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, just let's make some cartoons, everybody.
In my weird mansion where Helen the Bottom Carter lives in a different mansion, but it's connected through underground tunnels. Yeah,
you got damn right. That's actually the best part of Timber. Not his movies.
Yeah, no, for
that
sure.
That shit. It's great. You should just make a documentary about that. It'd be great.
Oh shit! Who would be the good documentary maker to make the Tim Burton documentary?
I don't know. Maybe somebody who's made some.
It can't be a documentary.
Well,
person.
You know how we like documentary filmmakers and know about them.
No.
But and it's follow them.
It's definitely not a documentary filmmaker, though.
I don't know. All right, so just a filmmaker,
just a regular.
Well, maybe
filmmaker.
Not a documentary, but what about like a dramatized film about it?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, like who would make a good?
Is it Tim Burton?
Yeah, it's probably going to be Tim Burton.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro is like the current Tim Burton, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He's got the style.
It'd be like J.J. Abrams making a movie about Steven Spielberg instead of Steven Spielberg making a movie about Steven Spielberg. Which is all he fucking does now!
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Tim Burton would do it, it would just be Ready Player One.
Yeah. Or the fucking the Steven Spielberg kid movie that is about his fucking life that he's making.
Yep, exactly. About himself. You can't do that, man.
No. God damn it, dude. All right.
Tim Burton wise, probably somebody that made a cool short.
Who loves the shit out of Tim Burton?
I would like to see
besides every goth kid from 1990 to 2005.
Neil Blomkamp would be cool because he would kind of fuck it up, but you know, I'd still be down with it.
I like it. Yeah. You're right.
I feel like he's not that strong, and Die Antwoord would be in it, and I'm kind of all about that.
I like it. Rob Zombie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some
Rob
weird
Zombie.
Fucking goth, like horror shit.
Yeah, just like hillbilly shit.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie would just be hillbilly
that's
shit.
That's true. Like, that's not really my kind of goth. He's like, no, that's your fucking
trucks. We're doing it. We're doing it now,
sir. A guy with a machete.
Actually, maybe Tarsem Singh. So it's just like giant sweeping cinematic all over the top shots with very little substance to them.
Yeah,
we do that.
Stanley Kubrick for that exact same effect. Yeah.
The ghost of Stanley Kubrick coming back for that shit.
It's like, I also don't care about human relationships. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about the humans in this.
You also only care about style over substance, right, Tim? All right. Fucking
let's,
tag team.
Let's do this.
Tag team supreme, motherfucker.
This is what... All right. So the movie gets into the dog situation. And this is where... This is where, it's dogs helping dogs now.
Right. This is the classic...
Pongo follows... They tell him. Another dog tells him, this is what happened.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny.
Oh, you have to assume that, but yes.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. The dog acts out, walking on his hind legs. Yeah. And Stephanie was like, that dog that walks like... That bitch that walks like this? Like, that's how you described Cruella de Vil.
Yep.
Is just putting on a jacket and walking on his hind legs.
Yeah.
Who's that one actor that always walked on his hind legs? Rory Calhoun from The Simpsons. Yeah. So then they do the Twilight Bark.
Yeah, the Twilight Bark. That's what it's
called. Yeah, Twilight Bark where he barks and then the dog barks and the bark. And then they communicate with each other. And at this point, I was like, I could really benefit from some dogs talking right now. Because we've been doing this for 20 minutes.
Yep.
And the only people we're talking are Jasper and Horace. And they're funny. But
I remember having
care.
I remember having this exact same experience watching The Jungle Book, which I did see in theaters because I loved The Jungle Book. Jungle Book, one of my favorite Disney movies.
Right.
Also, a book, like the actual Jungle Book, Roger Clipping's book.
The real Jungle Book?
The real Jungle Book. I owned as a child and read like 1,000 times and fucking loved it. And so when they were like, we're going to do a real Jungle Book, I was like, fuck yeah, we're going to get fucking the white cobra. We're going to get fucking Ka eating motherfuckers left and
right. No, they're just remaking the cartoon one.
Yeah, no, they didn't do any of that shit.
No, that's not where the money is.
Yeah.
What are you, but insane? Also,
you know what? Even in the very serious actual book, The Jungle Book, where there's like murder and death and Mowgli like makes a knife and is fighting for his fucking life. Like, you know what happens? All the fucking animals talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they still talk.
Yeah.
So yeah, the talking animals are an important part that turns out was kind of needed.
Kind
in
of
this.
Important.
If yeah. you're going to go 35 minutes of that, have the animals talk.
Yeah.
And we didn't even need to have them with that shitty mouth animation that they did in Summer of Sam. You could have just had them telepathically talk like they did in like Homeward Bound.
Or Look Who's Talking 2.
Yeah, or Look Who's Talking 2.
Was it three?
Three, yeah. The dogs are talking now.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Ridiculous. Yeah, you could have just done that. What was the other one? Milo and Otis, right?
Milo and Otis did that, yeah.
So you could just like have them telepathically talk.
I was almost named Otis because that movie's so good.
Oh, that would have been hilarious if you were named Otis.
After fucking Milo and Otis, a Disney movie where two talking animals talk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the other famous Otis. Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, the Lex Luthor sidekick?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Was that Otis?
Otis? Was it Otis?
Was that Otis?
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't remember.
You could have just told people that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Remember the fucking 1978 Superman? Remember Lex Luthor? Oh, yeah. Remember his sidekick? No, not really. Well, I'm named after him.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents named me after that guy. But if the dogs were talking, I feel like it would fill it out more because it's 35 minutes of no dogs talking. But the Horace and Jasper stuff is funny.
It is. And I think especially for kids.
Right. They do some so old-fashioned fucking comedy shit. Like, do that thing where they look into the fucking exhaust pipe and it gets a face full of soot.
Yeah. Classic. I do like that part a lot, actually.
Classic shit like that.
I do
or
like
they
that.
Get like a dog bites their butt and they really run around hoping, and the dog is still attached. Like, shit like that.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I was really hoping, just because I was thinking a lot recently about Beverly Hills Cop and how good that movie is.
Right.
Because it fucking rules. But I was really hoping that dog was going to stick a banana up that tailpipe.
No, so they talk to other animals because raccoon.
The raccoon gets he's the one that puts the stones in the tailpipe.
Yeah, he goes up and he puts fucking rocks in the
There's
tailpipe.
Cows and shit.
And also and
pigs.
All right, so Cruella rides around in an old 1930s limo.
Oh, awesome.
Why do Horace and Jasper drive around in an old 1930 truck? You have to also drive around in an old truck, or it's not part of. It's like the Joker, where all the henchmen
they have to wear his jacket.
Yeah, they have to wear like clown makeup and shit.
Yep.
And then like we're just low level criminals, dude. And he's like, no.
I just want to like rob this old lady's TV. They're like, nope.
Put on the fucking clown nose, motherfucker. You're part of my gang now.
Joker gang now.
I do like the idea that they just keep moving around. Like, hey, did you do that gig for Mr. Freeze? Yeah, that fucking sucked. That'd be painted blue.
I 100% feel that that's the way it goes in Gotham.
And they're like, Joker. You're just like a clown.
There is no doubt in my mind that there's just like a Dan Smith that has 15 costumes in his goddamn closet. That's just like,
he gets a call?
I'm just trying to rob fucking liquor stores. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
How's your Saturday looking? That's pretty good. Poison Ivy's got a gig. You're in? And it's like, all right, I'll get my fucking plant costume.
All right, I'll be there. Let me get that green fucking body spray paint.
Yeah. They're like, oh, the Scarecrow. That guy sucks, man. All right, I'll get the big straw hat. Like, hey, do I have to bring the straw hat? No, he provides them. He provides the straw hats for you.
Ah, Mad Hatter.
Aw, man.
We
all dress like Alice in Wonderland.
Fuck, dude. As long as he's not going to kidnap another little girl, right? Like, because that's a little much for me. I'm just saying.
He does it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it feels like that. Like, Cruella's like,
I have a little girl. I'm a father now. It's just, it's a,
You're going to be my henchman. You got to look like my henchman. Mm-hmm, 1930s mm-hmm. Cockney outfits, guys. Mm-hmm. They're like, God damn it.
Well, that's one of these weird things about this movie where all the villains are still in the cartoon place.
Fucking, the 1930s.
Yeah. In 1948 or whatever. Yeah. France or whatever. Yeah. And Jeff Daniels and Anita and the fucking dogs and stuff are all in 1996 Manhattan.
Yep.
Makes no goddamn sense.
Makes no sense. So we get a lot of like the animals fighting against the wet bandits.
Yeah.
They fight it out a lot.
And fight against Cruella eventually.
Yeah. Cruella shows up because she's like, I hired you guys to kill 101 puppies and you can't even do that. And I'm like,
you haven't even killed one puppy yet.
I'm like, all right. I feel like maybe killing 5 puppies, not that hard. But killing 101 puppies, I feel like that would wear on you eventually. Like, it's like we're pulling an all-nighter because we're killing 101 puppies.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're just hammering them all in the head, like, it's still going to take some time. Also, it's very dark.
Yeah. It's both dark. I feel like, if nothing else, it's going to take time because you're going to have to take pauses to, you know, talk to God about your numerous sins on this earth.
The horrible things that you've done. But then the puppies outsmart them. The dogs outsmart them. And then one dog.
One amazing goddamn dog.
Oh, fuck. All right. So this dog did not exist in the original movie. And he shows up in this movie and he saves the goddamn day. Pongo doesn't even do this shit.
Yeah. Where's Pongo?
Yeah.
Where's Anita?
Pongo is just
Lucky?
He's just like barking and running and shit.
Where's Patches? I don't know. Was that one of the dogs?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
That sounds like a
good
dog.
Where's Three Spots?
Where's Pepper?
Yeah. Where's Old Salt and, with the letter N, Pepper?
Yeah. Where's Salt and Pepper?
No R.
So this fucking dog, Kipper, is his goddamn name. You know, the hero of this movie.
The hero of this movie.
Who you remember because he saved the whole fucking day.
Yeah, he does.
Kipper is his fucking Labrador.
He's the one that sees the kidnapping, right?
Right.
And he starts spreading the word.
And he runs after them.
That enough.
He gets in the truck.
Oh, he's the fucking watchdog. All right, cool. No, that's not enough for this motherfucker.
Yeah. He runs, he gets in the truck, he follows them, he saves the puppies. He goes and individually pushes the puppies on the chute.
He's the one fucking great escaping these puppies.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fighting Horace and Jasper.
That's right.
Who have clubs and shit.
Yeah. And who are, you know, 18 times his size.
Yeah.
And also human beings.
Capable of human thought.
Yeah.
And
have guns. Yeah.
And Cruella shows up, who's the most vicious of all human beings alive.
Alive, for sure.
He drops a giant pig on her.
That's true.
Right. This dog does fucking everything.
This dog is amazing.
He's a hero dog. And it does kind of feel like Disney was like, we got to make a new dog that's going to be like the face. And then they were like, not working. Let's just keep him in there, but not do any merchandising for this fucking
Unbelievable.
Dog. Yeah, because
he's not a Dalmatian.
He's not a Dalmatian, exactly. And that's the problem with this, again, it should have been Pongo.
Yep.
Pongo should have done all this. Maybe you just can't train Dalmatians to be that cool.
I guess, maybe not.
They're too inbred.
They're too...
Yeah, Dalmatians are very inbred.
Stuck up bastards. Yeah.
Blue-blooded motherfuckers.
Blue-blooded fucking royalty.
No, they're fucking blind half of the time.
I'm going to say it. I don't care if they get bashed and skinned alive.
Cruella was too cool for that. So Kipper saves the day. They find out the 101 puppies that they've been stealing from everybody, right? Horace and Jasper have been stealing them from everybody around town.
And why they waited to bash them all together?
I don't know. By the time they got the last 15 puppies, they should have already had half of the coat done.
Yep.
Yeah, that's on them. They're bad henchmen.
They're bad henchmen.
That's why Cruella had to show up and try to finish the job.
Just from a logistics standpoint, I don't want to deal with 101 fucking puppies.
Living puppies?
Yeah. That's insane.
It smells awful. There's shots when they're all like in that one warehouse.
If you've ever dealt with one puppy, that's a lot of puppy.
Yeah, they're shitting everywhere.
Yeah.
If you like your socks, say goodbye to them.
15 puppies? They're eating them. Forget it.
Oh,
100 puppies? No, murder some of those puppies.
Yeah.
You gotta get some murder.
Eventually.
Some puppy murder.
You murder some puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a shot where they're all like loose running around in the warehouse, and we were like, that probably smells like shit.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
So, new 101 Dalmatians concept, it's just two people with 101 Dalmatians that are like, God damn it, I can't do it anymore. Mary, I can't fucking do it. Or I'm bashing the fucking head. I'm bashing the goddamn head. I can't fucking do it.
I'm gonna take like 20 of these and put them in a big sack.
Yep.
And then throw them in the river because I can't do it.
I can't do it. There's some rocks in the sack. I don't know how they got there. They're just fucking there. Okay, Mary? They're just fucking there.
All right. We should probably say that we don't actually
want to drown puppies. No.
Yeah, this is just jokes that we're making.
Just jokes.
That, just like this movie does that by making jokes about murdering and skinning puppies to make a
coat. That's right. Yeah.
And the whole time, it's in the back of your head the whole time. You're like, yeah, these dogs are, it's like funny. They're like fighting these guys and like beating these guys. And they're like, oh, that's right. They're trying to skin these puppies. And every now and then you're like, oh, that's right. They're going to make a coat of these guys.
I mean, I guess, again, the John Hughes connection, the Wet Bandits definitely want to murder Kevin McAllister end, right? They're going to bash that
at
boy.
At first, they're like, if we just can rob your house, we're fine.
But then
eventually they're like, we will kill this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to
eventually
murder.
Joe Pesci is going to take a pin like Casino, bash it into his fucking neck 15 times and watch him bleed out.
Right. That's what he wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, Macaulay Culkin.
Too smart.
Too smart for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
In this one, the fucking Kipper was too smart.
So if you're doing this in 1996, obviously Macaulay Culkin's one voice, right?
Well, I think Macaulay Culkin, Taylor Thomas. This is Macaulay Culkin.
He's doing 15 voices.
Macaulay Culkin's past his prime at this point. He's out.
He's out. No, Jonathan Taylor Thomas still in.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas is in. Macaulay Culkin's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sixth Sense kid too soon.
It's too early for him.
Too early for him.
Maybe the
Jerry Maguire kid.
Jerry Maguire kid.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire kid. Maybe. Maybe Jerry Maguire kid.
Lipnick, right?
Lipnick? Yeah. Maybe that kid. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get a super young Lindsay Lohan?
I mean, are we talking about doing the puppy voices?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like, you go with a grown woman that does all the fucking voices for little
kids.
You
just get the Simpsons cast.
Yeah. You would always get a grown woman to do the boy voices.
Yeah.
And then one star.
That's true.
And actually, it would probably have been Pongo... and Perdita would have been like the big names.
You get like the Bruce Willis and the Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
Roseanne Barr.
Yeah. Like those are the voices.
Voices. You're right.
So then Kipper saves the day. Nobody ever says good job, Kipper. Everybody's always wondering who Kipper is, but not how Kipper. Who is Kipper, but not how is Kipper.
That's true. Also disappears from the movie.
What's it?
Disappears from the movie. Should have been like that guy.
There
should have been a goddamn bronze statue of him outside the
Kane from Kung Fu, man.
Oh shit.
He shows up, he saves the day.
That's the goddamn scene they needed, was him sadly walking away that like fucking Incredible Hulk music.
Legitimately, like he's walking towards the river and then Pongo runs up and he's like, "Where are you going?" He like looks at him and then Kipper looks back at him. And he just leaves?
Or it's the scene from The Searchers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
God
yep.
Damn
exactly.
It. That would have been amazing.
And then Kipper
just saw all the puppies run in and you just saw him outside the door and then he just turns and walks.
Yep.
Fuck.
Pongo looks at him to thank him and he's just walking away.
He's just gone.
Yeah, fucking great. Yeah. Missed opportunity. That shit is fucking great. Kipper saves a fucking day and he should have been treated appropriately. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's just not there anymore. He fought three human beings.
Yeah.
He beat them. He saved 101 puppies.
101 done.
Even Lucky, who kept getting in the way of his own fucking rescue.
That's right.
He saved him too. He kept having
you
like help Lucky because he sucks at being rescued.
God damn it, this movie.
Yeah. Police show up finally.
That's right.
And they're like, oh, we're going to arrest. Oh, we didn't even talk about Skinner.
Oh, right.
So. We should talk about this because Horace and Jasper just get the animals.
They just get the animals. Skinner murders and
skins them. Yes. Yeah, that's the name Skinner. He also doesn't say anything and he's covered in scars. So he is a Batman. Well, not even a Batman villain. He's just a villain. He's like a James Bond villain.
He's any villain.
He's a James Bond villain.
He's Batman, whatever. But yeah, it's John Shrapnel, which is also, I mean, that's a
that,
fucking.
You could have called him Shrapnel.
Yeah, Shrapnel is a goddamn Batman name.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Shrapnel, the guy.
But you might know him from Troy, from Notting Hill.
He does have a couple of good bits. He has a good bit where he talks to Cruella on the phone, but he doesn't talk. So Cruella has to, like, guess what he's thinking because he's on the phone.
Right.
But it's a pretty good bit.
Pretty good.
But he's also, like, a free agent, I guess. He just runs around.
He just murders
skinning animals whenever animals
need. Gladiator. He's good in Gladiator.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever animals need to be skinned, he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Whenever an animal needs to be skinned,
he'll catch that shark.
Be there.
Yeah. And he'll skin him too.
Yeah.
And they get arrested finally. Cruella's like, oh, my career is ruined. And they put her in the back of a paddy wagon with Horace and Jasper.
All of them.
And then Skinner is in there as well.
I do love paddy wagons.
Which means that Skinner's gonna hurt them somehow. I don't know.
They kind of
like set that up.
I love the idea that they all just go in a big party bus.
Yeah, yeah. Then you just ride around in there. Yeah. I like it. I think it used to be used for like police brutality a lot
probably,
of times.
And just, wrangling up undesirables.
Right. But if you're at a fucking badass party all night and then you end up getting put in the back of a paddy wagon with a bunch of your friends.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad. Because then you're freaking out together.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've been partying since like 7 a.m. the
morning
previous
before.
Morning. Yep. And you're leaving
and you're
a World Cup game.
Yeah.
And you're blackout
and you're
drunk.
Fighting
and
you're a dude. Yeah. And then they put you in the back of a paddy wagon with all your friends.
That's pretty good.
Also, not with all your friends. Like
and
three,
the
three
guy
your
you
friends,
were fighting.
Yep. Three your friends and four of the dudes you were fighting. Pretty good.
God.
Pretty good. Because then you're like, you have no choice but to not fight. You have to be like, well, that sucked.
And
right?
And then you got to like sit there and be like, so what's your deal, dude?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is going to suck. Yeah. And then somebody's going to be like, first rodeo cowboy. And then you're like, yeah, I've never been arrested before. And then it's like, well, let me tell you a thing or two. And then you learn some lessons.
Right. And then you get some cigarettes and you...
Sure.
I don't know.
I get raped. I don't know. So anyway, Cruella gets arrested. The police, they show up to Jeff Daniels' house. And they're like, here's your 15 puppies. And also, 86 other puppies.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what are we going to do with these? And they're like, nobody in this town claimed any other puppies. And I'm like, nobody claimed any other Dalmatian puppies? Are you fucking sure? Or are you just being lazy cops?
Yep.
Yeah, because I feel like...
One or two things happen. Either the cops didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Or every single... So you have to imagine that's at least 8 couples, right?
Yeah, at least.
Probably
like 15
10,
couples.
15 couples.
Usually dogs give birth to like 4 dogs.
Right. So Cruella de Vil offered like... 5,000 pounds
well, that's
to like
the thing,
20
is that
people.
Cruella was
like,
buying them. Yeah.
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah. And they're like, were you missing dogs? And they're like, no, I sold those dogs. That transaction is over.
Fucking dogs.
And they're
I
like,
I got that 5,000 pounds. I bought a, I don't know, Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Or some bullshit car.
Some garbage car. Jeff
Daniels get a real
really
car.
Gets a short end.
Come
of
to
the
America,
stick on
get
one.
A real goddamn car.
They blew it because then they have to take care of everybody's puppies they already sold.
Luckily, Anita again.
Independently wealthy.
Yeah. Does not need to work.
No.
Is a millionaire.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you know what we should do? We should just keep these puppies and raise them.
And just hire 3 more nannies. Because who gives a fuck? I'm rich
I'm
as
very,
shit.
I'm very, very rich. Yeah. And then Jeff Daniels is like, why were you giving me shit about a job?
Right. And also, are you fired now? Because your boss just got arrested. And she's like, I don't care.
She's like, independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Motherfucking shit.
I don't give a shit. I'll launch my own fucking TikTok channel.
Luckily for them. Jeff Daniels has now come up with the perfect villain for his awesome video game. A fashionista. And they were like, well, I didn't like it when it was a miner in a minecart throwing TNT, but a fashionista? Now that's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And the little
now, instead of a dude, it's a lady with black and white hair?
Yeah. And then the little kid's like, perfect.
Awesome.
That's what
amazing.
We want.
Yeah. Best game ever.
And they're like, congratulations, you closed the Anderson account or some fucking generic business garbage talk. Because again, they don't know how fucking video games work.
Like, stocks are up. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, what?
No idea how video game developing works.
No, none at all.
Yeah. And then he's like, yay, we did it. I didn't have to make a Cruella song. And we just had to make a video
you
game.
You made Final Dalmatian 15.
Yep.
It's a huge hit.
And then they have all the Dalmatians. And then that's the end of the movie.
Yep.
No awesome moment for Kipper.
Nope.
No.
No awesome moment for anybody.
No, nobody, actually. No awesome moment for us,
Jeff
either.
Daniels.
We were, but at this point, we were like, that was all right.
Yeah. But at this point, it just like ends not with a bark, but with a whimper.
Yes. With a little whimper.
Yeah.
With a little, so anyway, that's the end of this crazy blockbuster hit that made a sequel to
so
it.
So much money.
Cruella comes out. I think the sequel, Cruella comes out and she's rehabilitated. But then the temptation of skinning dogs is so strong.
So strong. So strong.
That she's like...
It's
I'm gonna
it's
skin
really,
some dogs.
You remember how Leaving Las Vegas is about an alcoholic who just can't give it up?
Yeah,
it's the same thing, but with dog skinning.
But with dog skinning, exactly. And she's like, I'm a functioning member of society, but she keeps getting tempted so much. There's so many people
like
that are just like,
with,
I have all these
with
puppies.
James Caan.
Yeah.
And he knows it's a bad idea, but he's so self-destructive.
Yep.
He just can't keep betting.
Yep. He just has to, or the Hustler, where the Hustler, he's like, I just got to win. I got to win gotta this game.
Get it. Yeah. I got to get that extra, like that buzz. She's like, it comes from murdering and skinning a puppy.
Yep. That's what I want. I can't help myself.
God damn it, dude.
Anyway, we don't talk about the second one because it was not the big hit that this one was.
It was
like 4 years later.
So it was 2000, right?
It was 2000, yeah.
So we don't talk about 2000.
But that's the end of the movie.
That is the end of the movie.
Now we got to fix this movie.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about if they talked, it's better.
If they talk, it's better. Actually, let me pitch you this. There's already some CGI dogs in this.
Right. Actually, and pretty good CGI dogs.
Pretty good CGI dogs.
Not great, but pretty good.
Fair. For the time, very good.
Yeah.
Instead of that, let's make the dogs animated.
Right.
Let's make the people animated.
Okay.
Let's set it in like 1910 France.
Okay.
Beautiful architecture.
Can you still be a video game designer?
No, absolutely not. Let's make him a songwriter.
Okay.
That's more of a 1910s France thing.
All right.
Let's make the whole movie animated. Let's make it beautiful as fuck. And I don't know. It's going to be a classic for the ages.
Can we have like some original songs in there?
Obviously, we can have some original songs, Francisco. Come on.
All right. I'm almost sold on this. If we can add some racist cats.
I thought you'd never ask. Because this whole time I was like, they're black, they're white, there's jokes to be had, son. Yeah.
If we can have Siamese cats where they are bucktooth wait.
You said Siamese? That's like Asian, right?
Yes.
Oh, you know what they say about Asian people.
I
mean, we're not gonna say
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
But you know what they say about Asian people. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna get deep into
Siamese,
it.
If you please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can the cats be weird caricatures of Asian people?
Can we just have more racism? Let's have a black dog. Let's have a white dog. White dogs walk like this. Black dogs bark like. I mean, I think we have so many opportunities to just be racist as fuck.
So it's just like Ralph Bakshi's 101 Dalmatians.
Ralph Bakshi's hard rock pop. 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, set in the fucking Brooklyn.
Set in Brooklyn in 1968.
1968 Brooklyn. Yeah, a lot of tits out.
Some of them are on dogs.
A lot of racial commentary. People. Yes.
It doesn't matter.
No. All right, I'm on board with that.
Let's just all make them kind of dogs, but also kind of people.
Yeah.
And the black dogs, I mean, you know what they're going to look like. They're
going to eat a lot of But they're of also going to win at the end of the day because, yeah, you know, they're going to win at the end of the day and it's going to be great. And the white dogs, you know, they finally show them what's for.
Yeah.
All right. Ralph Bakshi's 101 Dalmatians is
what I'm Instead of that, all right. So at the end of this, at the beginning of this movie, their puppy almost dies.
Right.
But he brings them back through the two finger.
Yes.
Which is also how I bring my girl back.
Yes.
Hey.
Ooh.
Oh. Anyways. So we've already established the idea of mortality in this universe.
Yeah. You can bring people back.
We can bring people back. But also people can die.
Yeah.
So what if at the end, hero dog dies?
Kipper?
Kipper dies. But all dogs, they go to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Unless.
Actually, the thought that a movie about Kipper sounds fucking great.
A movie about Kipper. Can we just call it Do It for the Kipper?
Yeah, Do It for the Kipper. I think if it's a movie with no dialogue
and it's just dogs.
Just Kipper's plight. And he doesn't understand what humans are saying, but he's kind of getting the gist of it. But he wants to save these fucking puppies.
Do we, like, Charlie Brown style?
Yeah,
Exactly. All the humans just wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So we do a no dialogue. Like, we talked about Primal. We do no dialogue. It's just Kipper running around. It's like kind of high concept. It's like 80 minutes of a dog trying to figure out what's going on. And he sees these puppies get kidnapped.
All right, if we really want to go... You know, like Primal style. We're going to get a lot more blood.
A lot more violence.
This dog's going to have to rip some fucking throats out.
He will. Also, I like the idea that Kipper does some horrible shit before he ends up in this situation.
Oh, let's actually, you know what?
Oh,
let's do the Kipper prequel.
Yeah.
Let's do the Kipper prequel where he's like Jet Li in the movie Unchained.
Unchained, yeah.
Where he's a fighting dog, but he's an actual dog and not just a human dog.
Yeah. He's an actual fighting dog.
And yeah, we just go like hardcore.
And he doesn't want to kill the other dogs, but he
has
to.
Backstory.
And then he kills his owner.
Oh, yeah,
right?
He does.
I don't know.
Finally breaks free.
Let's have somebody cool play his owner.
Rob De Niro.
No, not somebody that cool. Let's go like Elias Koteas.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. All right. I like it. Like I like it.
Elias Koteas plays his owner, and then he rips Elias Koteas' throat out.
Yes.
And then he gets away, but he still has like a... He's still shackled.
Still shackled in his mind, but also the shackle that is on his foot.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's still dragging like this giant chain.
Which is a metaphor for his mind.
And then like maybe like a homeless guy helps him. But then he kills a homeless guy. But he kind
of looks like Elias Koteas.
So he has a dream in the middle of the night and he wakes up and he's killed a homeless guy. Oh. And he has to deal with that and be like, oh, what am I? What monster am I right now? So then he sees Dalmatians getting kidnapped and he's like, I'm going to help
the whole first 40 minutes of this movie where we were talking about Jeff Daniels and fucking Anita.
No.
Bullshit.
Gone.
Bullshit. Gone.
Video games.
Fuck that.
Get that fucking shit out.
Fuck that. I want this fucking dog story.
Yeah. I want him killing Elias Koteas, accidentally killing a homeless guy.
Yes. This is 101 Dalmatians, a fucking dog store.
And he's like starving and he has to steal for food.
That's right.
And he gets like beat by some guys.
And it's that Batman Begins scenes where it's like the first time I stole. And,
right.
I lost a lot of preconceived notions about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets beaten by some guys. He runs off and he's like a broken man. And then he sees like.
Broken dog, but yeah.
A broken dog. And then he sees like this opportunity to help these puppies.
This is the one chance in a life of death. And despair and depression. This is his one goddamn chance to make something of this world, to make a positive impact in this godforsaken hellhole of a life.
Sham of a life
that he has lived. And he will save those fucking puppies, even if it means his life. And obviously it's going to, because he's going to die at the end.
No, I was going to say, so we already talked about that ending where Pongo looks at him and he looks back at him.
Oh, the searcher ending?
The searcher ending. And then when Pongo looks at the puppies and he finally looks, he's gone. And then we cut to, he looks down in his middle section, covered in blood, because he got a wound early on that we didn't see.
No, we see the wound. We just forgot about it.
We forgot about it, exactly. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, that's it for me.
It's the Blade Runner 2049 thing where he's just on the steps.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just lays down.
And he just lays down and he just, that's it.
Oh, my fuck.
God. I'm crying already.
I love this dog. Yeah. This dog was already a goddamn hero dog.
Yeah.
Now this dog is the fucking hero.
I'm crying. Thinking about this dog.
Weeping openly.
Yes. He just lays down and he just dies right there. And he finally made sense of his life. He finally did it.
Everything. All that violence, all that horror. But
he had no control over.
He saved those goddamn puppies.
He saved those puppies for nothing. It was all worth it. He did it for no reason. He got nothing from it except rectification.
That satisfaction. Yep. I think right before he dies, maybe there's like a, I don't know, like a mouse or a bird that lands.
Yeah, he just sees something that reminds him of like when
maybe
he was chained up.
A bird that lands that had a string on its leg.
Yeah,
it's free now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just share a look. God damn.
This has been the best fixing the movie that we ever done.
I would cry if I watched this movie.
Very emotional about this ending. Very emotional about this ending. It's great, Kipper. I'm going to give it up to Kipper,
dude.
Yeah.
Up there, man. We got into the sky.
At the very least, a comic book about this guy.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Disney, you own Marvel. Just let me do a 4-part Kipper miniseries.
Yeah. And also pay me $4 million for it.
Pay me $4,000. I don't even give a shit.
No, $400,000. Come on. It's Disney.
$40,000. Maybe $40,000. I don't know. No, just give me a good artist. Give me whoever. I don't give a shit.
All right, I think we legitimately fixed this movie.
It'll be me and Jay Lee. We'll do fucking Kipper the Dog Story. It's going to be amazing.
Great. All right, what are we talking about next week?
All right, so, well, next week we'll circle back around.
Yes.
Because we skipped one due to some scheduling conflict.
Right.
So
we have an episode to release.
It's still in our hearts.
Right.
It's still in our minds. It's still in our souls. It's Godzilla.
Yep. 98 Godzilla.
We're going to talk about it.
We have a special guest for that. That's why we haven't released it yet, because we got some scheduling stuff with that special guest. But yeah, Nadia Godzilla. And then after that, I don't know, we'll get back into it. And I feel like it's going to be something weird. I'm going to make a guess here.
Make a guess.
And say it's Clueless.
It's definitely not Clueless. I mean, we are going to talk about Clueless because that's a mini that we're coming out with.
Oh, okay.
No, after that.
Fugitive.
Possibly before that. We'll see how it goes. We are talking about.
In the Line of Fire.
Mad Max himself. Mel Gibson.
Bird on a Wire.
No.
Finally.
That was 80s. We're talking about him. He wants his son, and he will not pay.
Oh, my God. Payback?
No. Ransom. All right. Let's try this whole section again. Yeah.
No. Ransom. All right. We talk about Ransom. Wow. That movie was that big.
That movie was a fucking giant hit. Ron Howard.
Wow. Yeah. Also, the idea was always awesome. It's like a... What's that J-Lo movie where she learns how to fight and then beats her?
Enough.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, you can't fuck this up.
No.
Yeah. Like,
it's a sure thing.
It's a sure thing. The idea
if you get Mel Gibson and he needs his son back and he will do anything to get his son back.
Yeah. It's a given. You can't fuck this up.
You're going to watch that shit.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like perfect. Mel Gibson's his son. No, do not take it. Mel Gibson is fucking incredible. Insane. It's, like, do not fucking take his son.
Weird high concept thing. It's just going to be a guy. Paying money to people to find his son. Yeah,
he won't do
it. And you can't fuck that up.
No, it's Big Mel.
So we'll talk about that eventually. We'll be back next week with next time with Godzilla
Ransom. We're gonna talk about them both. They're both dope. Well,
yeah. We'll talk about them.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I haven't watched Ransom in a long time. All right, until then, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francois Andine.
Wishing you a good night. And well, shit. I guess we gotta wish you a good journey.
We love you.